more about what that meant. I realized that making something that was making an album that was meaningful to me was very important. So how could I do that was a question that I asked myself as I kept writing songs and writing songs. And then eventually I kind of realized making an album is like making one really long song that spans across multiple songs, or at least it can be. And I had a beautiful experience making it.
That's incredible. That's really awesome. And I guess, how do you feel now that it's over and that you've released your first album?
I would say I feel confused.
Do you want to elaborate on that or no?
No.
That's okay. I guess, how is living in both North Carolina and New York City impacted your life as a creative person?
I think between both places, you're exposed to contradictory lifestyles, but also New York City offers like this super multicultural thing, and North Carolina offers a kind of distinctly American lifestyle, so and culture and all the things that come with that. So yeah, I think both places have given me a unique perspective.
Awesome. I guess this is like a fun question. If you could like compare your album to like a delicious meal, what do you think it would be?
Let's see. I'm gonna have to say grilled cheese with tomato soup.
That's awesome. So it's like a comforting record.
Yeah. Or like Triscuits.
That's awesome. Love Triscuits.
One or the other.
And then, well, you've been like making music for a very long time. I guess, what inspired you to start?
I started playing guitar around 13 years old, and really at this point I just remember feeling like I wanted to be good at something. I didn't really feel like some sort of metaphysical connection to music at that point. I just wanted to be good at something. My sisters were good at things, and I started playing guitar, and I started finding the joy, and it was challenging. And then I discovered songwriting through it. And then I realized that's what I love to do, is write songs. So the guitar became an instrument to write songs for me pretty quickly.
Do you remember what the first like full song you wrote was called?
I think it was called, like, the first one that I like recall is like, it was called like, "Why Is It Me?" ? And it was like about how I didn't make the tennis team.
No.
And it was just kind of this woe is me song about not making a sports team, but I almost made it. I like made it to the final round, and it was like winner makes the team, and I lost. And I just went home, and I'd been playing guitar for a little bit at this point. And I think really that was the start of that amplified my weird desire to like get good at something at that age.
So yeah, if you made the tennis team, we might not even be here.
We might not be here right now.
We're playing in the US Open or whatever.
Yeah.
When you were younger, did you have like a song that was like, this is my favorite song? Like, do you remember listening to music when you were a kid? Just being like, this is my favorite.
That's a good question. I'm gonna think on that. I'm just gonna say, like, growing up in the car, we'd be driving around, my parents would be driving me around, and I'd be like sitting in the back seat. Like, some of my earliest memories are being in the back seat of my dad's like 1996 Land Cruiser or whatever it was, and it still had like a old car radio type entertainment system with like CD player. But we played a lot of radio, and he had like, I think it was like early, you could like kind of play music sometimes, but anyways, he played a lot of coffee house radio. He played a lot of singer songwriter music, but I remember he really liked Imogen Heap. And like, I just remember hearing like Headlock and like Goodnight and Go and stuff in the car, and like not quite realizing like what was going on. But looking back, I think just like hearing the production at like 5 years old, like on that song, and the fact that I still remember it, had a lasting impact. But as far as favorite, I think that's probably my first favorite that like I didn't know is my favorite.
Yeah. That's awesome. I feel like I don't really associate Imogen Heap with like fathers, but
very true, yeah. Unusual. He's an unusual music taste for sure.
I mean, I think that's always awesome. How do you deal with artist's block or writer's block?
I think I just like to my knee-jerk reaction is to just step back from writing, which I think some people would say is a bad way to go about it. Some people would say like write through it. Also, someone's like banging on something in the background, so. But yeah, I think I always like to take a step back, and I think that honestly is bad advice. I think writing through it, finding ways to write something else, whether it's like write something that's not a song, like write a short story or write something else. Do something that's like adjacent to what you're doing. Try to find joy in that and then circle back.
I think that is good advice, but I do think like taking a break is always good because you can kind of like look at it from the outside and, you know, remember why you love it.
Yeah.
Do you remember the first gig you played?
Yes. It was in New York City, at Fort Greene Park, and we didn't have a band name yet, and I just remember we were playing a bunch of covers in the park. It was like a bunch of angsty teens, there's a lot of angsty teens kind of moshing. Yeah. And a couple other like funny things happened that I remember, but yeah, I probably shouldn't say this, but
Was it one of the like post-COVID Fort Greene Park shows by like the Monument?
yes, I would unfortunately have to say so.
So no, I went to a couple of those. They were like for the time, I think music was just so scarce and just being able to like have music and have shows is really important. So I'm a Fort Greene Park 2021 show defender.
Are you from New York also?
Yeah, I grew up in Brooklyn.
Okay, cool. And you're at UVM now.
Yeah. There's a lot of us.
Oh yeah. I spend a lot of time in Vermont actually.
What do you think of it?
It's beautiful. Yeah, it's really beautiful.
Yeah, that's what most people say.
Yeah. As far as like the like local politics and everything, it's not so beautiful, but
Yeah, it's
anyways.
we just had an election, and I the guy the awesome guy, I think he won. I don't know. I'm registered in New York.
Yeah. All I know is go Bernie.
Well,
And
yeah,
he's
but
still senator.
somehow he's so old.
Yeah, he is really old. But yeah, Vermont, cool
Vermont.
place.
Go Catamounts. Do you have like a dream band that you would want to play with? Open for, maybe they open for you.
Let's see. I had one that I was thinking of. I'm just gonna say MJ Lenderman because he's from North Carolina.
We love MJ Lenderman at WRUV. Don't worry.
That's great.
I
I
think, does he live in Brooklyn now? I think he does.
have no idea, but yeah, I think that would make sense because when I think of like opening for someone, I'm just like thinking about like something where it like kind of makes sense. Because there's bands I would want to open for that it would be like a clash, like genre clash.
What's one of those?
let's see. I'm trying to think of like bands that are like still out and about. Some type of like super like synth wave type of thing. I don't know.
It could work, maybe, you know.
Anything can work.
Anything can
Yeah.
work. If the music's good, it doesn't matter.
That's true. And I've already gotten a tomato thrown at me once, so
Would you like to tell that story?
actually I staged like me and my bass player staged it, so like we were like I'm gonna get up on the microphone and you're gonna throw a tomato at me. And the tomato was like we thought it was gonna like smash and like stain like my shirt or something in like a cartoonish way, but it was like really hard and it just like bounced off and like I don't think anyone noticed.
Someone was like, who threw a ball at Catherine?
Yeah. But
That's awesome. Well, I'm sorry it wasn't the like iconic viral moment that you wanted it to
yeah, next time I'll get a bruised tomato.
be.
Like that's like half like cut open or something.
Yeah, or just pre-cut the tomato.
Yeah. Yeah.
Think this is a
But
good idea. I guess how do you feel like social media has been, I mean, impacting your life as a musician and, you know, making your own art and having kind of everything be put onto the forever internet?
I feel like social media, the internet has changed everything. And it has changed things in ways that we won't understand until maybe later or maybe never. But I think, as somebody who loves or who romanticizes analog media and ways of consuming things and even ways of recording and just tape machines and cassettes and vinyls and things like that that I collect. You know, and I'm not like alone in that. I think part of us wishes that like that was the popular way to consume things. But we were born in a time where like right at the time where that changed.
Yeah.
So at least we got to like experience having to like buy a song on iTunes or like maybe a CD or, you know, early on in our lives. I'm assuming like we're a similar age, like radio. Like we got to like experience a little bit of like radio being popular in the late 2000s and early 2010s. But I think we're still very much like in this new period, and social media, to go back to the question, it's like I don't really feel the need to like express some sort of like goofy personality or like silly quirky thing on there, like persona. I wish that like written media, analog media, more high production interviews, like kind of the way it was like with like MTV and selling physical records, how I would imagine it to be in the 90s.
Yeah.
This was what I like think I would thrive more in.
I think also with like the time that we came of age on the internet, there's still kind of like a fear surrounding it where I feel like it's become so much less, like it's become so much more normal that people aren't scared of it in the same way that they were like when I was younger. Like I remember my mom being like, don't go on YouTube, it's evil.
Yeah. Yeah, it's scary that everyone like has let their guard down to the internet because it is evil and our moms were right.
And it's so much scarier now. Are you kidding me? It's yeah, so it's easy to gamble. Weird. Like, that's so messed up.
Yeah, that's terrible. Let's gamble on music.
That you can't say that because someone's going to come up with that. Like, gambling on, like, betting parlays on, like, Billboard charts.
Or, okay. Like, the length we'll redact of the that album. In the interview.
But it is... It is kind of messed up, but, you know, I think the fact that people still care about analog music and radio and things like that kind of hopes that it'll maybe swing in the opposite direction. Like,
I think that's going to be, like, the only antidote, because I feel like with Meta and everything... Well, maybe I shouldn't say this either, but like with insert the blank tech company and the way that even it used to be 5 years ago, things are changing at a rapid pace. 5 years ago with COVID and the internet, things were going viral naturally. And then they introduced this kind of like pay to go viral, like, or like pay to boost your thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I don't really know, I don't know how that works, but I imagine that changed like the way that things circulate. And when I think about radio, radio is a way to like actually have things circulate at the hands of a human and in a way that's kind of direct to consumer. And it's still like a very cool thing. It's like radio waves and antennas and whatnot.
Exactly. I think it's just like music has become like so oversaturated that like there's so much of it with like big streaming services that like radio
Like for that, that soon after.
kind of contains it and like brings it to your ears. And this, it's like, this is the best stuff. This is the coolest stuff. At least that's what I
Yeah.
find at my show.
Yeah. That's really cool.
I guess what's next for you and Katzen as a music project, but also just, are you planning any shows? Are you planning a tour? Like what are you excited for?
I'm playing a show next week at Nightclub 101. It's some guy's swerving in his Silverado. So yeah, next week, album release show at Nightclub 101 in New York. I'm looking forward to that. Other than that, in April, I'm playing a couple shows. One at Stony Brook University for their college radio festival. So, yeah, looking forward to that. And just my live band is a crucial part of, like, going back to the writer's block question for 1 second, like talking to friends and collaborators, that's like a crucial way to do it. Or just like talking to someone that offers you a new perspective.
Yeah, it's always really important for anything, really. Just like for an emotional problem, for an artist problem, it's just people, you know?
Yeah, because we're always seeing something one way, and if we see something a new way, like, then you can start to find inspiration again.
Exactly. Well, that's all the questions I have. Thank you so much for being interviewed.
Yeah, thank you.
I guess anything you want to plug on the radio?
Buckaroo is my new album, and I appreciate you guys playing it potentially and listening to it, and it means a lot to me and my friends and collaborators. And college radio is awesome. Listen to your friends' radio stations, and that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. So yeah, stream Buckaroo by Katzen on whatever platform you want, preferably one where you can buy it.
Nice meeting you.
Nice to meet you too.
Bye.
Okay, goodbye.
You see the trouble with our trouble, man? Not all man is born equal, and is only the chosen few jobless.